right, if you would grab a Bible this morning and look in Colossians 1, Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to ask you to forgive me for my voice. I had allergies this week, and between that and ball games, my voice is not much left. And so I appreciate your patience with that this morning. I'll speak as long as it lasts. I know growing up, our pastor used to say, if you'll listen fast, I'll get done fast. And I always thought, I listened a lot faster than he spoke, and because I was done way before. And so, but no, I want to share this with you this morning. And if I'm just going to, we're still in this, as you see, the restored church. And what does the restored church look like? And Colossians was this seemingly new and young church, and so we're taking this as our example. And Paul and Timothy are writing this letter, as we saw in chapter 1. It's an established church, but seems to be young. Epaphras has established the work there. So if you will, I'm just going to take it a little bit at a time this morning instead of reading the entire passage, just to save a little voice. And if you look at Colossians 1 and verse 9, in just the first part of the verse, and it'll be on the screen, I think. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We know that in verses 1 through 8, he told them there are some things he was thankful for that he had seen. And then he says to them in verse 9, so we've not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. It's interesting to me that Paul takes the first fourth of this letter, really, as we have it broken down, chapter 1, he takes the first fourth of this letter to emphasize how much he prayed for them. I just find that to be interesting. as a matter of fact, we don't have any record that Paul or Timothy had met these people. As a matter of fact, you see there, he said, we heard about you. So they have not even met them, and yet he felt an urgent need to pray for them. And I want you to think about this morning, and we're going to answer this question a little bit. Why do we pray for people? Have you ever really asked that question? Why do we pray for people? He's going to answer some of that in that specific, but I want you to take this and make it real practical for a moment. I want you to think about somebody that is not in this room this morning, that you have their phone number, okay, and that you're praying for. Just think about somebody that you say, right now, I know somebody that's not in this room, that I have their phone number, and they need prayer. And here's what I would like you to do. You can do it right now. I don't care. You can do it this week. Would you pray for them and then text them and let them know, I want you to know I'm praying for you? Has anybody ever been contacted by somebody that said, I want you to know I'm praying for you, and that lifted you up? That gave you encouragement? There is a power in knowing that people are praying for you. And I want us to look this morning also why we pray for people. Because I think most of the time we pray for people, I'll be honest, sometimes I pray for people because I don't like to know that they're in a bad situation. So sometimes it gets kind of selfish in my prayer. I don't want you to hurt because then I feel bad. And instead of saying, okay, God, what do you want to bring about in this? And what is it that you're going to reveal? So he said, I want you to know that since we first heard about you, I've been praying for you. And this, by the way, wasn't prayer hand emojis on Facebook, all right? This was like real prayer. This wasn't just like some little, yeah. And we're the worst for saying that. Christians are. Somebody will tell us something, we're like, I'll be praying for you. And we never actually do it. He was sincerely saying, we're praying for you, we're fervently praying for you. And I want you to understand something else about, before we get into what we're reading this morning, the rest of this, we need to understand in context that this is a letter written to a church. This is a letter written to a group of people, not just an individual. We tend to take everything that we read from the Bible and apply it just personally, when technically not all of it was meant to be applied personally. It was often speaking to a group of people. Now, we know there were times that Jesus addressed people specifically. We have Peter in John 21. But we also have And we also have Nicodemus in John 3, the woman at the well in John 4. Yes, he dealt with people one-on-one. But probably one of his more famous sermons, Sermon on the Mount, was to his disciples. He spoke to the group of them. And so when he says, well, you're going to be, when people persecute you, he wasn't saying persecute you, Peter, persecute you, John. He was saying persecute you. And so I want you to do this as we read this morning. When you see or read you, when you read you, think the church, okay? So when you read you, think the church. Think bigger than that, because the restored church has to have a communal mindset rather than just an individual mindset. See, oftentimes I come to church, Lord, what can you do for me? What if we came and said, Lord, what can you do for us? What can you do in us? I want you to have as much the Spirit of God as I have. So I don't want him to fill me with the Spirit, not you with the Spirit. I want us all to be filled with the Spirit. And so there's a communal mindset. So let's jump into this morning. Let's finish Colossians 1, 9. He said, we ask God to give you, here's his prayer, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then notice verse 11, if you would. We also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power, that you'll have the endurance of patience. So verse 9, we want God to give you complete knowledge of his will, spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then verse 11, we pray that you'll be strengthened with all the glorious power. So those are his prayer requests. So let's break them down real quick. They'll be here for you. Here's the needs that he's praying for. The first one is complete knowledge of his will. We see that there in verse 9. The second thing we see is spiritual wisdom. I'm praying that you would have spiritual wisdom. The third thing he's praying for them, they'd have spiritual understanding. And we'll talk about what the difference in those two are. And then fourthly, he's praying for strengthening power. Strengthening power. I'm not going to be able to treat all of these, but I'm just going to give you real quick on each one of them. The first thing about complete knowledge of his will. Remember, he's writing to a group of people, not just an individual. And he's saying to them, when he talks about the complete knowledge of his will, if he's writing to a group of people, he's not just talking about profession. A lot of times we say, I want to know the will of God personally. We mean, I want to know what God wants me to do for a profession, which God's will is greater, much greater than that. What he's really referring to here is what's the purpose? Have you ever asked yourself, what's the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church? And we could give a lot of different things to reach people with the gospel, to go into all the world, to disciple people. Yes, that is true. But notice he said, I want you to have complete knowledge of his will. I don't just want you to know what it is. I want you to know why it is. Why are we reaching all people? Why are we discipling? What is the purpose? So as we pray, we begin to pray, God, reveal to us your purpose and reveal to us what that purpose means. Because if without purpose, we become just mechanical. Without purpose, it can easily become dead. I want to know what my purpose is. And I wanted us to know what the purpose of the church is. So he's praying the restored church that they would know, have complete knowledge of the purpose. Why am I here? Can I encourage you to begin to pray that for this church? Lord, what is our purpose right here? Because I don't believe you're a God that things just happen accidentally. I believe you're a God that directs and guides. So what is our purpose? And our purpose isn't just to come to church on Sunday morning. Our purpose is to be the church Sunday through Saturday. So we begin to ask God for what that is. Well, as far as spiritual wisdom is different than the world's wisdom. And by the way, I will say this. It's good to have common sense. Everybody, if you don't have any, find some. Common sense is a good thing to have. But he's not talking about just the world's wisdom. He's talking about spiritual wisdom. This is where we begin to see and think like Christ would think. See things from God's point of view. That's what spiritual wisdom. I begin to look at everything I face in the world. The people I come into contact with. The relationships that I have. And speaking in context here of the church. Okay. What is it? We're talking about purpose. Okay, but Lord, we need to understand that purpose. And then as we understand that purpose, we want to have the wisdom of how we deal with people and how do you see us? How do you see our community? How do you see our world? And that's when we begin to have that spiritual wisdom. And then following that, the third one was spiritual understanding. That's knowing what to do now in response to purpose and wisdom. Spiritual understanding is, okay, I understand purpose and I have wisdom, so now how do I act on those things? How do I act on those things in a good way? Because it's not good enough just to know it. How do I respond with it? I'm afraid sometimes we make theology impractical. We don't really know how to apply it to our life. I listen and read a lot of things, and I'm afraid sometimes as pastors and speakers, we can get very, we can wax very eloquent, and nobody has any idea what we're talking about. It sounds good, but we don't know what it means. And Lord, I don't want, and he's saying to them, I don't want you just to know the knowledge. I want you to be able to apply that into your life. Last week, with our young people, we had His Space. In our devotion last week, if you want to call it that, we were actually teaching through different doctrinal things, was on the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You're like, for a youth meeting? Absolutely. Because you need to know. And what's really, really interesting about that is one of our young people got in a conversation this week with someone who was of a different faith, and issues like that came up. And so this is really important that we understand what we believe and why we believe it and how it applies to our life. And then the fourth one was strengthening power. Now, I love this because he's saying, you know, strengthening power, that seems like, wasn't that the same thing? As a matter of fact, if you look at your verse there, he talks about that you'd be strengthened, and he talks about being strengthened with glorious power. The word strengthen there is dunamis, and that's where we get our word dynamic or dynamite. God wants you to be dynamite. All right, He wants you to be dynamite in this world. But here's what's interesting. He says He wants us to be strengthened with His power, not our power. And the word power there is not dunamis. It is kratos, which means dominion. He wants us to have God's authority in order to apply His power. My power only goes so far. My power has limits. We all understand limitations and physical limitations. But here's the thing. My physical limitation may not be increased because I only have so much. But what does Christ have? He has complete authority, complete power. And He says, I'm going to use you to go out into this world. So maybe you're like me. And I used to, and people don't understand this about me. I used to not be able to. Really, honestly, I didn't like talking to people too much, except unless I was up here. And I was even nervous doing that up here. And now I just honestly like to engage people. And I know that's not me. I know that it's Christ in me. And so He begins to work in us. So think about this. Let's make it practical to us. He's talking to a group of people. He wants us to have strengthening power. You know what we've usually done within the church? We thought all the power needs to be in the pulpit. No. If there's power in the pulpit, not in the pew, then it's no good. You need strengthening power every single day. You're not meant to do this on your own. You're not meant to go to your job, to your family on your own. You're meant to go with the power of Jesus Christ every day. Dominion. By the way, these are Genesis words. You're going to have dominion. God's always had dominion, and then Satan comes along and tries to steal dominion away. Jesus Christ gains back dominion on the cross, and we have dominion through Jesus right now. You're like, wait a minute, we're going to have dominion when we get to heaven. Man, where'd you get that? If you really read your Bible, your kingdom come, your will be done, what did He say, one day? No, He said in earth as it is in heaven, dominion, the authority of God today. You're not meant to walk out weak and alone. You don't have to walk alone. You are with the power of Jesus Christ every day. So He's praying this for them. But here's the why. I asked you earlier, why do we pray for people? Look in Colossians 1, verse 10. Colossians 1, verse 10 answers the first three. He says, then the way you live. Now, he's going back. We ask God to give you, what did he pray for? The first three, the complete knowledge of His will, spiritual wisdom, understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Look at this on the screen. Will you put that up, the next thing? The answer to this prayer is us living honorable lives. Honorable lives. Honorable to who? To God first, right? To God first. But I believe once we begin to live honorable lives to God, even though men may not always appreciate it, they will always respect it because God said he's going to give you favor with God and man. And so we live honorable lives, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Growing up, every time I heard about bearing fruit, they were always saying it was going to win people to Jesus. That's part of what God's work is. That's part of the whole discipling work that he's going to do. But I'm going to win more people to Christ by the Spirit that I display than by the words that I speak. And what are those fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, right? All that whole list that we've talked about over and over again. I know Patrick did a whole Tuesday night study on Facebook with that. The fruit of the Spirit, we're going to bear those things out. We're going to have honorable lives that are going to bear out the fruit of the Spirit. All this is an answer to prayer because the last thing in genuinely knowing who God is. Not about God, but who. Genuinely knowing him. And when I get to know who God is, that changes everything in me. It's not just about the facts. You know, I believe one of the reasons that people don't want anything to do with the church today is because we don't live like we know who God is. We don't live like we know who God is. We've become too religious for that. I was just reading a devotional this morning. The story of the Good Samaritan. First two people to pass by the guy that was beat up on the side of the road were religious people. Jesus used that parable on purpose. He told that on purpose that way. Your religion is never going to cross the road. Only love, the love of God is going to cross the road. And when you know who God is love. God is love. And when I know who God is, I am compelled to cross the road. I am compelled to show this love. So living that out. So this is the answer to prayer for those first three things. And the answer to prayer for the next one is found in the rest of verse 11. Find it with me. We pray that you'll be strengthened with all glorious power. Why? So you'll have all the endurance and patience you need. And may you be filled with joy. So what's the answer to prayer? What's the reason for the prayer for strengthening power? It's endurance, patience, and joy. You need strengthening power to endure, to get through. I don't know how many of you have ever done any kind of distance running. I know Lee has. I know Lee's run several races over the years. We talk about power. Most of your distance runners, they're not the fastest sprinters. If you line them up in the 100 meters against Usain Bolt, he'll beat them every single time. But they're not trying to be the fastest. They're trying to for endurance. The spiritual life is not about a sprint. It's about endurance. I say this honestly and bluntly, and after all the years of pastoring and ministry, I've seen a lot of people that took off out of the block really fast, only to end up fading over to the side. It takes something to keep going day after day after day in your Christian walk. And for the Church of Jesus Christ, it's easy to run for a little while. Are tough. And he said, I'm praying that you have strengthening power that you endure. And that endurance is going to take patience. There's a little clip. It's from a movie. And there's a character talking about that when we pray for patience, it's not that God gives us patience. Some of you probably know where It's not that God gives us patience. He gives us things in our life that teach us patience. And I know some of you are like, I used to pray for patience, and then I realized what God was doing, and I quit praying for that. But it's a really great lesson that we have to endure some things in order to understand patience. And I can't help but go back to the distance runner thing. The endurance and the wanting to quit means I have to be, okay, I'm at mile number whatever, and I'm just going to be patient, and I'm going to literally start counting off the miles, because that's going to, okay, this one. All right, now I've got this many more, and I've got this many more. Because at the end of that, all that endurance, which is difficult, all that patience, which is trying, is what? Joy. There's joy in the finish. There's joy in that. And so I can't help but think of Jesus. I'm looking forward to the joy that was set before him. Looking ahead to the joy that was set before him. That's what we're called to do. You're like, Pastor David, I'm going through a really rough time now. Here's what I can tell you. Get to know God. Surround yourself with people that love God. Listen to the testimonies of other people who've been in similar situations. And endure. Be patient. Joy comes in the morning. That's a promise. Joy comes in the morning. And there's joy. And you'll find little joyful moments along the way. You'll find little joyful moments along the path. And I will tell you, one of my favorite things about running distance races, there's my favorite run is, and it's a 15K, which is what, 9.3 miles, is the Gate River Run in Jacksonville. One of the reasons I run that, like that run, is there's a lot of people along the way. There really are. There's tons of people. And one of my favorite memories is we were running through this neighborhood, and I'd been through there the year before, and there was a guy on the side of the road. He had a big table set up, and he had Dunkin' donut holes. And he was throwing them to runners. And they were catching them or trying to catch them. And eating donut holes. You know, that whole year before I ran it the next year, I couldn't help but think about that guy and thought, I hope he's there this year. And sure enough, the day came, we turned the corner, and there he was. And he has a sign up, hold your hand up if you want a donut. So I held my hand up, and he hurled a donut hole, and I caught it. Probably not the best thing to eat while you're running. But at the moment, it was just, for me, it was just like this, I didn't think about how the legs felt. I didn't think about my breathing. I didn't think about any of that because I was enjoying the moment I was in. And there's something about in the middle of your endurance and patience when God brings joy. And I believe some of you, God's brought some joy into your life at times. And you're just like, oh, I just needed that at that moment. You probably needed it way more than you did because you didn't have to think about the endurance, the joy that was in there. And so he's saying to this church, listen, you're going to have difficult moments where you're just going to trudge through. But then God's going to give you some good joyful moments. Just enjoy those. Just really enjoy those. That's just like a glimpse of the big joy that's on the other side. So just enjoy those moments. So let's look at one last thing. Result, Colossians 1. And look at verse 12 through 14. I'm going to read it off the screen. It says, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. By the way, one of my favorite phrases in the Bible, that last phrase, the kingdom of the Son of His love. In whom we have redemption. We, by the way, all of us together. You didn't get in another way. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So, write these things down real quick. First one is this. We have been delivered personally and corporately. We've been delivered personally and corporately. You've been delivered from the darkness. You've been delivered from sin. You've been delivered from the things that kept you in bondage. And we have been delivered. We have been delivered. The Bible calls the Greek word for the church is a called out assembly. Called out from what? Called out from the world. The ecclesia. The called out from the world. We've been personally and corporately delivered. We don't have to walk in darkness anymore. We get to walk in the light. One time we didn't have a choice. And now together today we get to walk in the beauty of Jesus Christ. And we get to do that hand in hand with one another. Well, we'll sanitize our hands first. But we get to do that hand in hand with one another. That's the beauty of what God does. The next thing I want you to write down is this. We have been translated from darkness to light. I think the word there was conveyed. We've been translated from darkness to light. We were in darkness, couldn't see anything. I'm not great in the dark. I can't see things. I don't know, you know. I remember, I always think of this illustration. We were in Haiti, and they don't have the area we were in. They didn't have electricity, and so their eyes were adjusted to the dark much more quickly than ours were. And we came out one night, and we're walking down the street, and I was with Joe Heron. I'll never forget this. And by the way, in Haiti, when you're walking down the street, somebody would just come up and hold your hand. You know, that's just what they do. That's how they let you know they're your friend, and they just hold your hand while you're walking down the street. They told us that before we got there. It's like, don't freak. All right, that just means they're your friend, and they want to be your friend. So some of you be like, no, I don't think so. but that's just what they did. Well, next thing I know, we're walking down the street, and we're in front of a whole group of young people, probably about 30 of us. And suddenly, that group of young people in front of us parted. And it was hard to see. We're almost pitch black out on these streets. But I could see that they were spreading out. Well, listen. Be smart enough, if you're in a foreign country and they all run from something, you need to run too, all right? They all spread out, so we begin to ask, what's going on? Y'all, look this up. Google it. A Haitian brown tarantula. A Haitian brown tarantula. They're brown, but they have purple on them too when you shine a light on them. The freakiest thing I've ever seen in my life. I was so thankful those Haitians were in front of me because it would have been a different ball game. What was interesting is we, as Americans, all have flashlights with us. So we took our flashlights out and began to shine them. You're like, why didn't you have them out before? I don't know. We began to shine it. Now suddenly the danger that was there or the perceived danger, they were like, oh, don't kill it. Those are good. Yeah, okay, whatever. That danger that was there was now exposed. Here's the beauty of what God does. We were walking in darkness, and he conveyed a kingdom of light. You're like, why don't I struggle with the things I used to struggle with? Because there's light been shined in your life. The light that has been shined in your life. And you may not even grasp that or understand that sometimes. And I think God so much, he's conveyed us into this kingdom of light where things are exposed and seen that once were just, we didn't understand them. And now you have spiritual understanding. You're like, oh, no, that's why I don't live that way. That's why the church shouldn't act that way. And by the way, I'm concerned when the people of God still act like in the things that had us bound. What happened from darkness to light? Hatred and bitterness and all the other stuff that comes. How are we still acting like darkness when we're supposed to be in light? Maybe we actually never got into light, but that's a whole other area. Write this down. Two more things. This new kingdom is based on the love of Jesus. It's based on the love of Jesus. I loved that phrase, the kingdom of the Son of His love. I just, what is your kingdom based on? You know what kingdoms today are based on? Power. How powerful we can be. You know, the kingdom of God is not based on power. The church does not need to worry about power. I think we live in a day and age where politically we're constantly saying, well, we've got to be in power. Here's what you need to understand. I mentioned that word earlier, kratos, dominion. God's already in power. He's already in power. And so whether we have political power or not, I know that there's kingdom power. And that kingdom power is most greatly displayed in not how I control people, but how I love people. Not how I dominate people, but how I love people. And so we are in the kingdom of the Son of His love. I'd rather live in that kingdom any day. That kingdom any day. And then last, we've been bought with an incredible price. He purchased our redemption with His very own blood. What an incredible price. I can't fathom that. I can't understand that. Except to know that, number one, that I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. But He came to make us worthy. And there is no one in here or in this world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The kingdom of the Son of His love says, listen, there is a price that has been paid. And it was paid with the blood of Jesus. It was not paid by anything else. Isn't it so interesting that Judas was willing to take 30 pieces of silver as a price to betray the one who would pay the greatest price with his own blood? And that's why it was blood money. But I wonder how many times would I have traded the blood of Christ for something this world offers me? There's no comparison. And so let us know that price that has been paid. And let us never forget that. It's been paid for us. Growing up, I heard songs several times, and I'm not disparaging the songs, I've sung them. But if I was the if I was the only one, or He came for me, all true, but let's never forget that He came for us. I don't want to get so self-absorbed and look at me that I forget us. I look out at you this morning, and I love that I know you, and I know your stories, and I know your life. And I just love that, to know that Christ paid that price for you, and that we get to do this together. We get to enjoy the things of God together. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? I mean, the person sitting next to you, they're a beautiful person in Christ. That's awesome. We get to do this together. So would you pray with me this morning? And thank you for your patience with my voice this morning.